Yesterday, I was privileged to be able to go to a Patriot rally in Owensboro. Brother Lee Watts was taking care of that. Brother Watts has been here preaching two or three different occasions, and just dealing with some things that we are going to be facing, I believe, in the future. So pray that the Lord would help as information gets out, information comes together. We're living in some, I believe, very desperate times, some very difficult times ahead of us, and probably things that we are able to preach at this moment, sometime in the future, might become illegal to even talk about. And you say, well, that would never happen in America. Anything can happen in America. I believe we have seen that. I believe we have noted that. And so this morning, I was listening just as I was getting ready. TV was on, and Dr. Charles Stanley was preaching. And he used a verse of Scripture that I thought would be very appropriate this morning, even for the message that I'm going to give. And so it was found in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 10. I'm not going to be dealing with primarily the persecution, but just how that we can survive what is ahead for us. And there is, I believe, some dark days ahead for the child of God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 10, verse number 11, it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." These two verses tell us when Jesus was dealing, this of course is part of what is classified as the Beatitudes. The first ones deal with some things that we do every day, how that we mourn, how that the meek shall inherit the earth. But these two verses that I just read deal with not the peacemaker, but it deals with those that are persecuted, those that are having problems because, and you'll find here the reason for that in verse number 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." For the sake of righteousness, sometimes people are persecuted. For the reason of holiness, sometimes people are looked down upon and are literally persecuted for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that happens to you, if that happens to me, which it may come to us someday. If that does happen, how will we handle that? How will we survive those type of things that come our way? You see, the child of God this morning, we have a total different view of things than what the world does. It's called a worldview. It's how we look, how we see things that take place. And as a Christian, we see things through the eyes of the Word of God. We see things that come to us on the news, and we can identify what we believe and what we see because what God has given to us in His Word. I believe we're living in the last days because the Scripture says in the last days, perilous times or troublesome, dangerous times shall come. And certainly we are living in dangerous, perilous, troublesome times. And so therefore we know that the Lord is on His way. A lot of other things involved in it. But to the secular world and to the mind that has no understanding of God, they will look at that and say, well, the reason that people do that is because of the way they were raised or because of the influence of society around them. So we need to push more money, more funds, and more programs to take care of that, and it'll finally get better. Well, I was living when Lyndon Baines Johnson became president after the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And in his administration, he started what was called the Great Society and Beautify America. And the Beautify America was his wife's project, and the other project was his, and it was going to make everything better in our country. It sounded good, it looked good on paper, but it doesn't sound good or look very good right now because it just has not worked. You can funnel all the money you want to society, but society without God will still be a wicked society. You can funnel all the funds that you desire to toward ungodliness, but the ungodly will still be ungodly unless they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our views are totally different. They want to make it better. We know it's not going to get any better because the Bible says that they're going to wax worse and worse. And so it's according to how we look at things is how we perceive what truth is. The world believes to conquer, we must be strong. I mean, that's what we're taught. If we're going to conquer, if we're going to be the greatest, then we've got to be strong enough to defeat and destroy everything else. The world says if we're going to gain, then we must be able to save. The world says that if we're going to get something, then we must be able to take it from someone else. We hear a lot about that. In order to reign, we must also conquer. To be wise, we must have more education. To be exalted, we must be able to run over and exalt ourselves rather than to be exalted. That's the view of secular society. That's the view of the world. But the Bible teaches a very different set of facts. The Bible teaches a very different way of living. The world has their own ways and they're anti-God and they have no understanding. But you and I, we know that God is greater than all. We know that the Bible is our final authority. We know that God is our final word. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55 and verse number 9, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways nowhere come near to our ways. God's thoughts nowhere come near to what our thoughts are or what they might be. So God is our authority and His book is our final word on things. And so the Bible teaches us that the Scripture says that all that will live godly shall what? Suffer persecution. Now, do we believe the book or do we not believe the book? The Bible says all. That's A-L-L. That's an all-inclusive word, means all of us. If we live godly, somewhere down the line, we're going to suffer some persecution. We're going to have some struggles in our life. There's going to be some problems that come our way. And so this morning, I want us to deal with this thing of how are we going to handle, how are we going to survive, how are we going to fare, are we going to do well when struggles come to our life? I've heard, and I'm sure you have heard, the world knows the name Kim Davis. The lady over in eastern Kentucky that has made strong statements that she will not put her name on a marriage license for same-sex marriage. I applaud her for that. I thank her for making her stand. I've heard all the arguments every way, every direction. She ought to do her job. She shouldn't do this. She's lived this way. She's had this. You hear all those things. Well, what they do not tell you that her past life, and by the way, before you got saved, you have a past life. That lady's been saved 3 years. And she's taking a stronger stand right now than some people that's been saved 30 years. Maybe it's because she's just been saved 3 years. It's still fresh and really real to her. Regardless of who she is or where she is standing on a principle that she thinks is true and right. And I happen to agree with her on that. But that's not the issue. The issue is persecution. The issue is the struggle that comes to us. I've already heard that there are preachers in this country that are in trouble because they will not perform the same-sex marriage. Well, I'll be one of those preachers that's in trouble. I'm not going to do that. And so how are we going to survive? How are we going to get through these times? It may be we have real difficulty. The Apostle Paul, when he went into town, he usually ended up in jail. So being in jail for the right reason is not such a bad thing. You have some pretty good company there. And so we find that the Bible very clearly tells us that we are to stand and we are to do and we are to live according to God's Word, even if it means persecution that comes to us. Well, that dear lady, she's not even afforded the right of bail. They will not even let her out on bail. They put an end undetermined amount of time she's going to spend in jail. That is not according to law. And all these things. But that does not matter because the issue is God and Christ. That is the issue. Yeah. Amen. And so this morning, the world says, if I'm going to be strong, I have to conquer you. And that's how they act. The world says, if I'm going to gain, then I've got to get it from you. The world says that if I'm going to reign, if I'm going to be mightier, then you've got to become weaker. If I'm going to be wise, then I've got to have the education. And I will say it again and again and again. As far as I'm concerned, and this is my personal opinion, and so that does not matter to anybody else, my personal opinion is that our educational system is destroying this country.
Right.
Just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, there's a school that required their students to study Islam and read certain things and then to write a statement that Allah is the one true God. If I had a child in that school, they'd have a problem. We have, that's in Tennessee, that's in the Bible Belt. The Bible Belt's disappeared, folks. It's become a grass strip. Doesn't amount to much anymore. And so we're in the midst of a battle that I'm sure that the battle is not going to settle down just because an election comes up. Probably, I don't know for sure, nobody knows for sure, probably that lady there in Rowan County. Boy, I tell you what, Kentucky's made headline news all around the world. And it's for a good reason. But probably that lady will spend her time in jail until after the new legislature comes in January. And that's a shame. Because we have a governor that if he would, under law, he is supposed to make sure that no person is overly abused because of their religious convictions. That is a law in the state of Kentucky. He's the number one person in Kentucky, and he doesn't have the backbone of a worm. The same day that the Supreme Court, the highest court of our land, the same day that they sent down their opinion on something that they had no business even looking at. It is not a law. It is an opinion. America is supposed to be ruled by law, not opinion. But the same day they came down with their opinion, the governor of Texas made sure that pastors and people were protected. He signed a mandate in his state to protect them. Would Kentucky's governor do that? No, the son of a Baptist preacher wouldn't do that. Just a few miles down the road, born and raised. State of Tennessee, the same day, their governor. Louisiana, their governor made sure that people that believe certain things were protected under the law. And we've got the law on books. And our governor will not. And he's made it very clear he will not. And so, what are we going to do? I'm not going to move to Texas. I might. I'm not going to move to Tennessee. What are we going to do? Number one, and we've been very, very faulty in this, we need to pray for our leadership. We talk long and hard. Prayer changes things, and we never pray about things. We need to pray for our leadership. First thing I pray for them is that they get saved.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't care what they call themselves. They can call themselves any denomination they want to call themselves. They need to get saved if they're not saved. That's far better than being a Baptist.
Yeah.
We need to pray for them. I believe we need to become active in making voices and making statements for truth. We've been quiet too long. And so these things are coming at us, and it's just been 2 or 3 months. I mean, the floodgates are open. And around this country, there are struggles everywhere for the child of God, From even the baking of a cake to a signing of a name. All of a sudden, it does not matter what we believe. You may not know it, may not realize it, but we are under attack. Now, how are we gonna make it? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That means God's on our side. That means the Lord's got our back. Well, the world says if we conquer, then we've got to be strong and destroy. How are we going to survive? To conquer, we must be able to surrender. I'm talking about surrendering ourselves to the Lord. To surrender ourselves to whatever the Lord brings to us, that we are happy in the things of God. Knowing that He is the one that's in control of all things. Now, it's easy for me to stand back here and say that. It may not be so easy for me if they come and get me. But I pray God would help us to surrender ourselves unto the Lord. I am not going to change my message. Because my message does not change. We cannot change what we believe because what we believe is found in the unsearchable riches of the Word of God. We cannot go down. We cannot back up. We cannot say, I deny. Because if we deny, then we have a problem spiritually. And so if we're going to survive, we must be willing and able to understand, I must surrender unto Him. Look in Romans chapter number 12. One of the great passages of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1 and 2. Many of us could quote this, but let's read it. Romans 12, 1. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, what does that say? What's a sacrifice? Sacrifice means death. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable that we would undergo problems because we are Christians and therefore they hated Him. Jesus said they'll hate you. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That word transformed means to be changed. To be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice that we may prove what is the will of God. What is the will of God for my life? What is the will of God for your life? Where will we stand? What will we do when they say you cannot do? We must surrender to the will of the Lord. The Bible says, in that same chapter of Romans, verse 20 and 21, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. What are we to do? We're to surrender. There may be a time that we have to surrender to the will of God, and it may not be my will. It may not be my desire. It may not be your will. It may not be your desire. But say, God, this is what you have for me. Then I'm going to go through this. Dr. Charles Stanley had a good message this morning on the reasons for persecution. If you can go back and get that on the internet, you ought to listen to it. The reasons for persecution. What comes from that? And so we have a different worldview. The world says if you're going to conquer, you must destroy. We say if we're going to conquer, we must surrender. Give ourselves over to Him. The Bible says, secondly, that if we're going to live, the world says if you're going to live and live good, you got to run over and destroy everybody else. But the Bible says if we're going to live, we must learn how to die. Die to self. John chapter 12. Verse 24, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Paul said, I die daily. Paul said in his ministry, I die daily. I die to self. Dying to self means I don't do everything I want to do. It means I don't get to go everywhere I want to go. It means I don't get to experience all the joy that I'd like to experience. I just die to self. And I'm talking about for the cause of Christ. I would say this morning that sitting in the jail, there's a lady that has understood what it means to die to self. I heard an interview of her husband. And by the way, for those that don't know and those that want to cast down, it's her fourth husband. The other three was before she got saved. And so, salvation does make a difference, doesn't it? Salvation does change our heart. Salvation does make us think about things differently. And so, regardless of what's in her past, I think she's probably sitting in a jail cell this morning, realizing that she has surrendered to the will of God, realizing that she has died to herself. She'd rather be out. Her husband had rather she be out. Her children had rather she be out. But because of a deep-seated conviction that I believe comes from the Word of God, she's there. And the question that I ask myself is, would I be there? Would I be willing to do that? Another question I ask is, where are the others? And there are others. They just haven't gone after them as strong. You can deny. It's a strange thing. You can deny a person a hunting license because you don't agree with hunting and you're okay. 6,000 hunting licenses have been denied in the state of California because the people don't believe in hunting. And they go to bed every night in their bed. They eat their food every morning at their table. And we have one lady that says, I don't agree with this. And she's in jail. For righteousness' sake, we are persecuted. To live, we must die. To conquer, we must surrender. To save life, we must be willing to lose. Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. In order to get, the world says we must take. In order to receive it, we've got to take it from somebody else. You've heard about this redistribution of wealth. And the world says, well, they've got a bunch and they don't have much, so they ought to take care of this. All things wrong. Somewhere down the line, they're going to run out of money. That's what the worldview is. If I need it, I get it. I take it. The biblical view is, to get it, I must give. If I'm going to receive something, I must be willing to give something. The Scripture says in Proverbs 11:25, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. If we're going to get something, then we must be willing to give something. If we're going to be able to bring in something, then we must be willing to send out something. I don't know how many times I've said it here, that in our mission program, we just seemingly can't outgive the Lord. You know why? You can't outgive the Lord. You just can't outgive God. Because the more you go and the more you give, the more all of a sudden shows up somewhere. The more you do, the more is given to you to do. The more you send out, the more comes in, so he can send more out. That's the principle of the Word of God that we believe. And if we're going to stand upon God's Word, then we must understand that if I'm going to get something from God, I've got to be willing to give something to God. Make me a channel of blessing, dear Lord. I don't know if that's in our songbook or not. Make me a channel of blessing. I don't think it is. It's in the old Baptist hymnal. I remember singing that as a kid. Make me a channel of blessing. That just simply means, God, you bring it this way, and I'll send it this way. I'm just a channel. I'm just a conduit. I'm just something that you can use to send it to somewhere else. It just goes through me. But boy, what a blessing it is when God puts it through you. When God gives you something, you can bless somebody else with. And if you don't want to bless somebody else with, He can give it to somebody that you won't ever worry about it anymore. And so the way we're going to survive is that we must be willing to surrender. We must be willing to die to self. We must be willing to lose. We must be willing to give. Because God says He'll give back to us. And our Scripture very clearly tells us that we can't outgive the Lord. Well, He just tells us a certain amount. He just says, I don't want it all, I just want a portion. And when we're faithful to Him, He gives us more of a portion back. Just can't outdo the Lord. How many people in here this morning can make testimony of not being able to outgive God? How many times that God's blessed us with certain things and we channel it to somebody else, and all of a sudden He blesses us another way and much more and gives us something else. And God knows He can trust us, and God knows He can use us, and God knows He can give it through us that we'll be faithful to Him. Oh God, make me a channel of blessing. To get, we must give. A lot of verses. Malachi 3:10, that's the tithing verse. Luke 6, Ecclesiastes 11, those are verses that show us and tell us that if we give, He'll give back. The world says if we're going to reign, we must conquer. The Scripture says if we're going to rule and reign, we must be a servant. Just be a servant. See, God's not interested in any big guys and little big people. We had that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. God's not interested in wisdom. God's not interested in riches. God's not interested in anything that we can offer Him. He doesn't play that game like we do. But God's interested in someone that will be a servant. He takes the foolishness of men to confound and confuse the wisdom of this world. That was our Sunday school. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 43, blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find doing. That's a working servant. That's a person that's busy. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that servant, what servant? That one that's working. That servant will be made ruler over all that he hath. You know, when Joseph was carried off and taken and put in Egypt. He was there as a servant, but he was a working servant. Everywhere Joseph went, God blessed who he was with. If he was in Potiphar's house, God blessed Potiphar's house, even though Potiphar's wife tried to destroy Joseph. When Joseph was in the Pharaoh's house, he blessed that house. Why? Because Joseph was a servant, had a servant's heart. And when all was said and done, and the years had gone by, you know who second or third ruler in the kingdom was? It's Joseph. Taking care, because God had given him the ability. God had given him the wisdom. He said, now Pharaoh, there's going to be a famine, and you better take care. And he put him over that, and God blessed all the works of Joseph. Why? Because he's willing to be a servant. He was a Hebrew boy in Egypt. That wasn't popular. That's not popular now. And that's not popular then. To be a Hebrew. And so we find that if we're going to serve, if we're going to reign, if we're going to have any power with God and with people, then we must have a servant's heart. We must have a servant's heart that would be willing to say, I'll give, I'll go, I'll do whatever, God, you want me to do. Every one of our missionaries this morning that we support, you know what they have? They have a servant's heart. Every one of us should have a servant's heart. And he says here, that servant will be made ruler over all that he hath. We've been studying the book of the Revelation, the book of Daniel, a little bit along with that. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the portion that the king gave. That's when he was about maybe 15 years old. And when Daniel, you read through the book of Daniel, Daniel lives through kingdom after kingdom after kingdom. At one time, he was given third ruler of a kingdom that was disappearing. And every time anybody wanted any instruction or wisdom, you know who they went to? They went to that Jewish man, not a boy now. He's gone from 15, 17, now he's probably 80. You know who they go to for wisdom? They go to that servant's heart, that man named Daniel, that would not defile himself, that would not do what Nebuchadnezzar said to do, would not pollute himself. And God made him ruler. The world says, if we are going to be wise, then we've got to get education. I beg to differ. Wisdom comes from who? God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God has the wisdom. So the world says, get wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth, that word seemeth is important. If any man seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. As far as the world's concerned, we're foolish this morning. What we believe, where we stand, what we read, we're foolish. How are we going to survive? What's going to take place? How are we going to make it through the days ahead? Oh, we've got to surrender. Die to self. Learn to lose our life. Learn to serve. Have wisdom that comes from God. And lastly, if we're ever going to be exalted in the eyes of anyone, we must become humble. Humility is something almost past history of the church. Very few humble people. They come along and say, I have humility, let me tell you about it. That's not humility. Humility is doing those things in the background that nobody knows about. Humility is being that person that can be used of the Lord and has no desire of any kind of recognition. Well, this got done. I don't know who done it. I'm sure glad somebody took care of that problem. That's humility. Not desiring. And if we're going to ever do anything for the Lord, we better learn to become humble. Matthew 18, verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Just become humble like a little child. Nothing more precious than the innocency of a little child. A little child will tell you truth, and they don't blush. A little child will say things that will make you blush, but they don't blush because they're innocent. And the Lord said, if we become humble like a little child, If we just have the humility of a little child, then we've got a great future ahead of us as far as the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord help us this morning. Oh, these are paradoxes. These are things that really you think couldn't happen. To conquer, we must surrender. Oh, to conquer, we must surrender. These are things that the world will never understand. These are things that society, they just will not get it. I just don't understand. Have you ever had anybody say, I just don't understand why you do what you do? Have you ever had somebody say, I don't understand why you think the way you think? Well, I've had people tell me that. Maybe rightfully so on some things. I don't understand why you do the things you do. The world never gets it. You know why? Because they don't know Him. The things that we have in our life, somebody says, I read this book and I just don't understand any of it. You know why? Because these things are spiritually discerned.
Yeah.
They're given to us because even though it's a great history book, it's not a history book. Even though it's a great science book, it's not a science book. This is God's Word. And to understand all the things that's in God's Word, we must have God, Holy Spirit, in our heart. These things are spiritually understood.
Yeah. Amen.
And so when somebody says, I just don't get it, so well, let me tell you how you get it. I don't understand it. Well, let me tell you how you can begin to understand some things. We need to bring them to the understanding, the realization they need to meet God. And we meet God only through the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us this morning to be faithful wherever we find ourselves, that we will be true to Him. Whether we agree or disagree with the things in this world, we have to agree with the things in this book. May God help us to survive in the days that are ahead. There is a individual, I do not remember his name. He works in the legislature. He's either a senator or a representative in our state. But he made a statement to Brother Lee Watts. He says, If things continue as they are, he said, in 4 or 5 years, he said, me and you both will be in trouble for what we preach and what we believe. It has been only a few months since the highest court, I hate to use the word supreme, I believe that only belongs to God, our highest court made their decision. And boy, the floodgates are open. All of a sudden, they're brave. It's just been a few months. What takes place in the next few years? I try my best to not get too involved in politics. But you know why we're in such a problem we're in this morning? Is because good Christian people sit at home and do not vote for a good candidate, regardless of a donkey or an elephant. It's because we sit at home. And it don't matter. It's mattering.
Yeah.
And it does not matter what they call themselves. You need to understand. You need to look and say, how are they going to vote? How are they going to protect me? How are they going to protect all of us? There are some bills coming up in January, February, whenever our legislature meets. They need to be passed. There's protection for a lady like her. There's protection for a preacher like me. If we're not careful, those bills will slide through and then never get voted on because not enough pressure. May God help us. God has given us the greatest country that's on the face of God's earth. And we're watching the God-haters take it away from us. That's shame. But the Christian is sitting by doing nothing. While Rome burns, we whistle. It's all over. Can we change it? I don't know. I know one thing, God has a will, and God will take care of His own. May the Lord help us to do these things, to surrender, to die, to lose, to give, to serve. As far as they're concerned, to become a fool. Help us to become humble. Those are the ways we'll survive until Jesus comes. Let's stand together this morning.